Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast, a conversation that changes the way you view all relationships, whether married, single, parent, or professional. Discover the relationship secret hidden in plain sight. And now the intersection of theology and psychology. Conversations between pastor
and psychologist.
They are father and son. Your hosts, Emerson and Jonathan Egerich.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast. I'm Jonathan Egerich. I'm joined here by my father, Emerson Egerich, and we're so glad that you could be with us. Episode 31, and we're going to be going over some ways that you can say thank you to your spouse for the things that they do to meet your needs. May be especially appropriate here around Valentine's season, but can certainly be applied at any time of the year. So we're going to go over six thank you statements that you can say to your spouse. But as we always do, we kind of briefly look to reflect on what we talked about last week in episode 30, which was how do you seek to empathically understand your kids. So why don't you just quickly, Dad, give a few points for what we talked about last week and what you challenged people on the topic of parenting and understanding their children.
Well, one of the challenges always is to put ourselves in our children's shoes. We were once little people, and it's so easy to forget that they are little people. Just because we're taller and bigger than them doesn't mean that they don't have hearts that, you know, are tender. And so we looked at the importance of understanding and empathizing, understanding the age and the stage, and making sure that we don't expect a 5-year-old to jump over a 10-foot wall, because physically just not able to do that. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:11 said, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, thought as a child, reasoned as a child, but when I became an adult, I did away with childish things." And the beauty of that verse is that kids are going to do childish things. And it's crucial that we as parents are not the ones who cry over the spilt milk. And we used Joseph and Mary as the great illustration, the time that Jesus was 12 and stayed behind in Jerusalem after one of the feasts while Mary and Joseph and their relatives and friends returned by caravan to Nazareth. Then they suddenly discovered Jesus was nowhere to be found. And that was a culture and a day where, you know, everybody kind of looked out for one another and everybody assumed the other knew where he was. And he was not a problem child. I think he was perfect after all. And he was the perfect child. But they had to go back and confront him, and the six things we saw really powerfully illustrate how a mother and father, even in the case of a perfect child, need to be understanding, but address the issues that need to be addressed. They confronted him. They were anxious. They asked questions, and we explained how is it that you are to respond to your children in these frustrating moments, and it was a great example on how to do that.
So if you weren't able to listen to episode 30, by all means, go back and check it out if you've got it in your queue to do so. We appreciate that, and also sharing it with others. But today we're going to transition back to the topic of relationships and marriage, and you're going to unpack for us kind of some ways that we can be appreciative towards our spouse for the ways that they meet our needs or move towards us in areas where we have needs. And I guess I've got some questions as we move through these, but these are actual 12, six each for a wife and for a husband, you know, kind of short and sweet statements that you can make to your spouse. And I'm assuming that people can put their own language to it, but you're highlighting what you have called the energizing cycle, which comes from the Love and Respect book, which is, you know, how do we motivate each other? So I guess kind of the 30, and again, this is back in the beginning episodes of the podcast. We've gone over this. You can find this in the book. There's blogs, you know, about this topic as well. But just again, a refresher for some, but for those that aren't aware, what briefly is the energizing cycle?
Well, based on Ephesians 5:33, which is the summary statement to the greatest treatise in the New Testament on marriage, the husband is commanded to love, and the wife is commanded to respect. And we unpack the controversial dimension of respecting a man, and so we won't divulge that. But assuming the listener has bought into this idea of unconditional love and unconditional respect. It's not who our spouse fails to be. It's who God calls us to be, and that we're to lovingly confront things that aren't lovable. We're to respectfully confront things that are not respectable, and we unpack how to do that. But given you're on the same page, we said, hey, you know, there is a very insightful implication from which I made an inference from Ephesians 5:33 that apparently, if you love a woman, you're going to motivate her. If you respect a man, you're going to motivate him. 1 Peter 3 says you can win a husband who's disobedient by your respectful behavior. Hosea won his adulterous wife. Go love a woman who's an adulteress. So the key to opening the heart of a spouse who's even disobedient is through love and respect, and it's gender specific. And so I discovered this energizing cycle. His love motivates her respect. Her respect motivates his love. And that's mm-hmm. that energizing cycle. And we're going to look at how you spell love, and we've done that in that COUPLE couple that I unpack each of those concepts as a scripture, and then chairs, CHAIRS, is how you spell respect to a man. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to take it from here and explain how we're going to apply that today mm-hmm. in the area of giving thanks.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, in many ways, it's not the opposite of what you're talking about. You know, how does a husband, you know, apply love towards a wife, or how does a wife, you know, apply respect towards her husband? But how do we acknowledge when it's you know, occurring? And I guess I even have interesting, you know, questions about, you know, do we say thank you when we are uncertain if it occurred intentionally or unintentionally, and how I think oftentimes we get wrapped up in was something meant, you know, to be meaningful, you know, towards me. But I guess I'm saying that in terms of what spirit or attitude do you bring to this, especially as we're kind of in the Valentine's season. And I think I often hear you say, I mean, most people, if pressed, they can find something that they love or respect about their husband. And I think most people, if pressed, they can find something that they're thankful about in their spouse, what they've done, you know, towards them. And I don't think you're saying you got to find something to be thankful for in each one of these six categories, right? You're saying out of these six categories, can you find something to be thankful for or appreciative of that your spouse has kind of enacted towards you, correct?
Right, just one thing. I mean, just looking for one thing, at least as a way of encouraging them, and we'll explain that in a moment. But, I mean, we have to remind ourselves, we are fallen creatures. We need the Savior who died on the cross for our sins, so we are imperfect people. But we must also be reminded that we're created in the image of God, and the residual effect of that creation resides within each of us. That's not been lost. And so there is the image of God in every person, even though they've done wrong. You can find something that's healthy, that's good there. You know, some woman was a very positive woman, and they said about her, you know, you'd find something to compliment the devil about. She said, well, he is persistent. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, if you can find something, quote, quote, good, and this is tongue-in-cheek, about the devil, you can certainly find something healthy in your spouse.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so as we begin here, we're going to start with wives towards their husbands expressing thanks, right? So a wife is looking, examining kind of how her husband is in relationship to her through these six categories of how a husband can spell love, you know, towards his wife. So, I mean, what do you think is kind of the best way to go through? Do you want me to kind of read them all, or do you want to go through kind of each acronym and explain it briefly? I mean, I know we've done that before in terms of going over the energizing cycle. What do you think is best here, or most meaningful?
Well, I think a thing to as a preface, one of the reasons we're talking about saying thank you is that this isn't just a suggestion. I mean, one of the things that we see in Scripture, and I've got a study that I've done called The Four Wills of God. I mean, all of the revelation through Christ and the apostles and prophets is the will of God. However, as I studied the Bible 30 hours a week for nearly 20 years, I realized there were four passages that said, this is the will of God, this is the will of God, this is the will of God, this is the will of God. And one of them is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Everything and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So all of us need to hear that our Heavenly Father is kind of calling us into check here, that we have a propensity not to give thanks. I mean, a lot of times in relationships, we either say nothing or we say something negative. but we don't take the next step and express thanks to God for our spouse, thank our spouse for what we see in our spouse, because we've given thanks to God for our spouse. I mean, we need to stop at moments and really willfully, consciously do this, because apparently there isn't this natural propensity to do this. Some people are. They're sanguine. They're appreciative of everything. But the vast majority of us kind of just overlook. It's kind of like we focus on the negative, and we just kind of assume that the positive ought to be there.
So this is an imperative or a command?
Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And so in everything. And it doesn't mean that we thank God for evil. It means that we thank God that He will cause all evil things even to work together for good. That we have that perspective that God is sovereign, that He's loving, He's in control, and even though we don't fully understand everything, we're going to give thanks in everything and even for everything, because we're trusting Him to be at work in these situations. And that's looking at the negative side. I mean, here we're focused on just giving thanks for the things that are worthy of being thankful for. You know, and I remember the 10 lepers, remember, that were healed by Jesus. And only one returned and gave Him thanks. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is an incredible story of how 9 out of 10 people didn't even give thanks to the individual who healed them. Mm-hmm. So the propensity not to be thankful is glaringly revealed in that story.
Well, and I wonder if that even gives hope or an opportunity for someone to have an understanding that not only, you know, can you give thanks to your spouse, but there's this, we're giving thanks to God about some of these things as well, but there may be a situation out there where somebody can't actually physically say thank you to somebody, either because of, you know, there's separation or there's desertion or something. But how can we, even in the absence of that, or maybe not a safe situation, can you somehow, as you suggested, still give thanks for something, right, even in the circumstances that are going on, which, well, we can't obviously know.
Yeah, I mean, I think, as we're pointing out, it's self-serving to give thanks in the sense that people who are thankful, it really does have a healing effect on us. I mean, truly, when we you know, that whole idea of count your blessings, mm-hmm. you know, that there is a wisdom that people have developed over the years. It's far better to be thankful and finding something for which to give thanks. And so it begins maybe just in your own quietness, giving thanks to God for the things that we're about to unfold here. Just thank God for that. Mm-hmm. Particularly, I listen to widows and widowers, and they are very clear on saying, boy, suddenly, in the absence of that spouse, it is highlighted in clear ways the things that they had and didn't really give thanks for, mm-hmm. and they regret that.
Sure. And I think even the social science supports that when they do studies inside of positive psychology, where they have, you know, a control group, and then, you know, other control group doing nothing, and then other groups, you know, writing down 3 to 6 things that they're thankful for, you know, every evening, even if it's the same things over and over again. And at the end of those studies, you know, remeasuring them and, you know, on life satisfaction, meaning, et cetera, and you know, giving thanks has a positive, you know, effect, even in terms of this kind of the secular scientific, you know, research, which obviously, you know, as we're stating here, the Bible says in all things, you know, give thanks. So there is something about gratitude, about thankfulness, about maintaining a spirit of positivity that has lasting effects in terms of, you know, pencil and paper measures, importing more life satisfaction, but I think in terms of health benefits, et cetera, right? I mean, there's a kind of a common sense approach to that. Negativity, right, we know can lead to health problems, and positivity. And so, I mean, there's a variety of reasons for doing this, you know, alongside of kind of the spiritual imperative, you know, that we have as Christians as well.
Well, and that's fascinating research that you gave voice to, and that just illustrates that it's in your best self-interest just to enter into the exercise of, as you were saying, they were penciled down every evening, 3 to 6 things, even if it was the same thing, and it was documented, it was proven mm-hmm. that those people who went through that simple exercise, just from a psychosomatic standpoint, mm-hmm. affected their spirit, affected their health. Mm-hmm. That discipline in and of itself is worthy. And I've said through the years, just beyond the psychological factor, and we do, as you know, we all know that. I mean, we all know that how we think affects us. I mean, that's not novel, but we just don't enter into the discipline of doing it. So it's not like anybody's going to debate this. So we know that. So I think we need to be reminded of that today and be challenged that. But I've said through the years that when we do give thanks before God, it does release faith. Mm-hmm. There's something here that does, in fact, overcome doubt, despair, and there's a sense of confidence that surges, and the Lord responds to faith. that he has said that the whole kingdom, the way he's established his economy is not financial. It's based on faith, that faith moves things forward. Now, he overrides some things. We can ask and not get what we want. But James says, you don't get if you don't ask. You may not get what you do ask, but you won't get if you don't ask. And it's crucial that we ask in faith. And I have found through the years that the people who give thanks as they're praying, Father, I thank you. That's why, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul recognized that the key to releasing that petition is got to be rooted in a thankful heart. There's somehow this really cleans it up and makes our heart and our faith pure. And it's a beautiful, beautiful insight into how to pray with thanksgiving. So it does, in fact, affect the heart of God, not just a psychosomatic trick.
Well, and yet, the end of that verse, right, says, and it transcends all human understanding, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's an incomprehensibility, you know, to it. It releases something, you know, as you say, right? And again, even my field, right, in this idea of the past 100+ years from kind of Freud on, right, there's been a what's wrong with us approach, right? This pathology approach. And I guess in terms of my own thinking and thinking about this, I mean, where do we take a step outside of ourselves and for attempt to the best of our ability, kind of moving forward to not what's wrong with me, not what's wrong with my spouse, not what's wrong with us, right? That pathology, negative sort of approach, but a what's right with us approach, and what can I give thanks for, right? What are the things I can be appreciative about myself? What are the things I can be appreciative about my spouse? What are the things that I can be appreciative of about our relationship? Not only verbalizing those to my spouse when appropriate, which we're going to talk about, but also, as you've indicated, we need to do that to God as well. Not a what's wrong approach, but a what's right approach, because there's much to be appreciative of.
And you gave me great insight, and I hadn't paid close attention to it, and correct me if I'm wrong in this, but the psychological counseling industry, in order to qualify for insurance monies, they have to profile someone as having a problem.
Well, without getting into it, I mean, to be reimbursable like it is when we go to the medical doctor as well. I mean, there needs to be a processing code. There needs to be some sort of diagnostic indicator that is reimbursable. And it's all numbers and systems in the field, you know, the field of psychology is, you know, no different, whether it's depression, anxiety, but it is it's a what's wrong. What are we trying to fix? What are we working and the system is what the system, you know, is. But positive psychology in the last 15 years, which has its problems as well, but has tried to take an approach of, you know, what's right with us, right? How can we thrive and survive in this world that, you know, has problems? And I think there's much to be gleaned from that, in the same way that Scripture hasn't been teaching anything different, you know, for a couple of millennia now, in terms of this life has suffering, but can we even give thanks in the midst of it, and can we rejoice and experience happiness, etc.
Right. So. And I've said, you know, the unintended consequences sometimes of, let's say, the professional counseling industry, where you have to then have a problem, that it inadvertently, and even though everybody's got good motives, we'll just assume everybody's got everybody's best interests at heart, there is this negative perspective. And it's all focused on the pathology. And that kind of creates across the spectrum here that people tend to then just see what's wrong. And this is where there's been a shift from professional counseling to what we call the coaching industry, which says we're going to capitalize on your strengths. But there's not necessarily a lot of money made in that. And so there's, again, a default back to where the money runs, because I've got to put food on the table for my family if I'm a professional counselor. And again, I'm guarded in what I'm saying, but I'm saying to the consumer out there that over a period of time, we suddenly feel like a person in need, that, you know, I just have nothing but problems. Mm-hmm. And we need to be reminded, look, you're an adult. You can push through on this, and you can see things in a more positive light. God wants you to see things in a more positive light. Doesn't mean you're in denial, that you're denying that there is wrongdoing or things are imperfect, but there's a whole lot of good here, and God is calling us in everything. Give thanks.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what some of the dividends might be for some of you that kind of enter into this maybe in a new way of finding things to be appreciative for and thanks. But while we have no timeline to ever hit in these episodes, we did have this loose idea in our mind of hitting the 25-minute mark. I don't know if we're going to go through all 12 of these in the next 6 minutes.
Well, I think we set the stage for it we can be succinct, that it doesn't have to be.
Absolutely, and I'm joking a little bit. But let's go through these, because I think we talked about hopefully some meaningful stuff here leading up to this.
Hugely so. But I'm very excited about
from four wives towards their husbands, right? How can they give thanks. We have the acronym, COUPLE, which is closeness, openness, understanding, peacemaking, loyalty, and esteem. And why don't you just kind of go through these in terms of, a wife's looking for one or even more than that of how she can show thankfulness, gratefulness, appreciation towards her husband in this area. What does this right. look like?
Well, the twist on this is that usually when I talk about COUPLE, closeness, openness, understanding, peacemaking, loyalty, and esteem, I'm challenging husbands. Mm-hmm. This is God's, these concepts are rooted in salient scripture to husbands toward their wives, and that I'm challenging men to couple, COUPLE, to do the loving thing toward their wives. The twist on this, the coming at this from the other angle, this is saying to the wife, hey, let's stop for a moment. Instead of talking about what the husband ought to do toward you and creating in you an expectation that he ought to do that, let's pause for a moment and ask, has he done some of these things? Has he been close to you? Has he been open with you? Has he been understanding? Has he made peace with you? Has he expressed his loyalty? Has he esteemed you? And we want then to look at it from that angle and say, hey, has he been close? Then maybe write him a note. Thank you for being with me face to face this last week, or something like that, because we define that closeness, that face to face closeness. So write a note, or just say to him personally, think through where he has chosen to be with you. Rather than looking at maybe where he wasn't, let's look at where he was and just say thank you. Sometimes, you can motivate people more, I believe that, by being positive than by being negative.
And so openness then.
Mm-hmm. Same idea. We talk about husbands not being embittered against their wives, Colossians 3:19, and they close off in anger, and we challenge men to be more open, to be less, grinding of the teeth and being more open, being more transparent, being more humble, being more, not being secretly mad. And so have you seen your husband be more open with you? Has he made a decision not to get as angry? And has he been controlling that, particularly if his dad had a real problem with anger and you've seen your husband be one who's really controlled that? Sometimes we just kind of expect people to be normal and don't really appreciate the extent to which they came out of abnormality and that they've really made a conscious, willful effort to change. But now, we just kind of take it for granted. But when you're around his father, you realize, wow, my husband has really made a decision not to be a bitter man, not to close off at me in anger, but to keep his heart tender. Say thank you.
The letter U, understanding.
Again, the idea is the husband is to live with his wife in an understanding way. And since she's a woman, that whole idea of empathizing. And some of you wives are very quick to say, my husband listens to me. But then we'll say, I haven't really told him thank you. I just kind of assume that he ought to. So say thank you.
Letter P, peacemaking.
Again, women go through the roof sometimes because their husbands don't say, I'm sorry. But some of you are married to husbands who do apologize. And maybe you think he apologizes more than he doesn't. But I know a million women who would love to line up and have your husband over-apologize than being married to the guy who never apologizes. And just say, honey, I thank you for really kind of wanting to resolve things with us and making sure that we're reconciled. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
The idea of loyalty, the letter L.
That commitment, the covenant in Malachi, that we're to be covenanted with our wife and the companion of our youth and rejoice in that wife of our youth and being fully committed to her. And again, some of you know your husband is fully committed. He is just dedicated, and you are totally assured of that. But can I ask you this? Have you told him thank you? This would be a great moment on Valentine's Day weekend to do that.
And finally, the word esteem, the letter E.
The First Peter passage, honor your wife and treat her as a fellow heir of the grace of life. He is to do that toward you and treasuring you, making you number one in his life. And you again have a husband who, in fact, is doing that. But maybe he isn't as close to you, but you know that he seeks to honor you. Maybe he's not always as open, he's more quiet, but you know that he would never do anything to dishonor you. And by that, he has committed himself to esteem you. Thank him for that.
And so 6 ways for a wife to express thanks to her husband. And as you kind of indicate, one is a good place to start.
Yes, just one. And thank the Lord, first of all, for that. And don't forget, in everything give thanks. This is upward first and foremost. And really genuinely do that. And even say, I thank God for you the other day. That's a beautiful thing as well. If you feel a bit more self-conscious about just saying, I just want to thank you for being this way, just say, hey, I thanked the Lord for you the other day, and here's why.
Mm-hmm. Now, for husbands towards their wives, and the acronym is CHAIRS, and that's Conquest, Hierarchy, Authority, Insight, Relationship, Sexuality. And again, you can hear kind of the fuller version of that in some of the beginning podcast episodes around the energizing cycle, and certainly through the book, through the live conference,
and our streaming,
and all that. But this is, as you again said, kind of the flip side of that. How does a husband express appreciation towards his wife for doing these things or honoring one of these six things?
That's right. We encourage wives to appreciate the work and achievement of the husbands, to appreciate the fact that he provides and protects, appreciate his strength and his desire to be the spiritual leader, his desire to analyze and counsel, to do shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. He's big on friendship, but it's shoulder-to-shoulder. And then just his desire for sexual intimacy. And those are those six areas. And so, you know, let's think for a moment about your wives, gentlemen, that, you know, do you have a wife who, in fact, is very thankful for your work and achievement, and she acknowledges that? Well, then thank her for her appreciation. You know, she really is supportive of you. There are a lot of guys out there whose wives just, you know, you're not working hard enough, you're not achieving enough, I'm not getting enough. And I mean, you talk about guys that are defeated. I mean, it's a huge issue on many fronts, but you have a wife that is very grateful to you, and so would you thank her?
Mm-hmm. And so they have six ways that they can figure out how to thank her: in the area of sexuality, in the area of relationship, in the area of insight, in the area of authority, hierarchy, and conquest. And so looking for a way that she demonstrates that mm-hmm. to you. To me, it doesn't seem like it would be too much of a challenge, although I'm assuming there's people out there that say she is not meeting, you know, any of these. But again, as you indicate, there are plenty of ways to find ways to be thankful, even if it's kind of this global, I thanked the Lord for you the other day, yeah, and who you are as yeah. as a person.
Well, and continuing on, I mean, gentlemen, is she appreciative of you providing and protecting? Then thank her. You know, is she appreciating your desire to be strong for her and to, you know, even lead in the relationship? Is she wanting you to lead in the relationship spiritually? Then thank her for that. I mean, is she one who says, quit trying to fix me, you jerk, or is she one who really does listen to your analysis, your solutions, your counsel? I mean, there are a lot of women that go through the roof on guys like that, and it really hurts them because the guy's trying to be helpful, giving a solution. You've got a wife that really does appreciate it. Thank her for that. And then, you know, we talk about face-to-face, but I've been challenging women to do shoulder-to-shoulder things with their husbands without talking. Have you noticed that maybe your wife is just hanging out with you without talking? If so, sing her praises. She gets this, and it's counterintuitive for her, but she's serving you in that regard. And then some of you have a wife who is very responsive to you sexually. She's exhausted on many fronts with the younger kids, but she does not deprive you. She serves you. She honors you. Give her thanks for that.
Well, and I think you've indicated, as I've heard you say, that the means to relay this message to the spouse may be less important than the actual message itself. So whether it's writing a note, mm-hmm. whether it's on the phone, whether it's in person, whether it's text, the idea of the act of doing it is the most important thing.
That's right.
Thing.
That's right. Whatever person's comfortable with, if it's a note, and notes can last, you know. So, you know, that's really up to you. The means is secondary to the objective here of on this Valentine's weekend in particular, or on any special occasion, or just for no reason at all, say thank you, because if for no other reason, it does you good, it touches the heart of God, and in all likelihood, it'll touch the heart of your spouse.
And so 12 ways or 12 things that you can potentially find to be grateful or thankful for your spouse, six for wives and six for husbands as we enter into this Valentine season, but appropriate all year long for the rest of your marriage. Any final thoughts, or do you think we've covered the idea of expressing thanks to your spouse?
Mm-hmm. Be fully thankful.
Be thankful. Well, we appreciate you joining us this week for episode 31. Again, whenever this podcast is released, for some of you, it's kind of on Fridays if you've subscribed, and then others of you get it on Mondays. But around this Valentine's season, we wish you meaningful time together, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
You've been listening to the Love and Respect Podcast. For more information and additional products, go to Love.
loveandrespect.com.
And follow us on Twitter,
Facebook,
and Instagram. Join Emerson and Jonathan next week for another episode.